Hi everyone, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Lit Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Teja. Today, I'm joined by Mark Barreta to talk about his new book, Leadership Landmarks, going behind the scenes of leadership and human development. Mark Barreta is Academic Director for Executive Programs and Affiliate Professor at HEC Paris. He also teaches at Triumph Global Executive MBA. He has been coaching and developing executives for over 20 years. He is the CEO and founder of Inesauga, a leadership development consultancy, and Annihilus, a coaching school. Based on Mark's experience, Leadership Landmarks takes you behind the scenes of effective leadership and personal development. The book gives you access to the secrets of great leaders in overcoming obstacles, staying healthy, promoting agility and autonomy, being eco-friendly, being demanding and fair, and developing kindness and empathy. Hi, Mark. It's a great pleasure to have you with us on Lit Radio Podcast. I'm very excited to speak with you about your first book, Leadership Landmarks. So first of all, could you tell us why you decided to write it?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me. You know, I'm so happy to spend some time with you, Teja, today. So, yeah, I know that life is not easy. I wanted to write a book that can help guide, assist, and support leaders and coaches to make their lives meaningful and impactful. I have noticed that some coaching books are focused on the coaching process. In Leadership Landmarks, I wanted to focus on coaching purpose, how to overcome vulnerabilities and obstacles. I wanted to give the floor to leaders, to give them the opportunities to share their vulnerabilities, but also their secrets, how they have overcome obstacles, and what lessons they learned. I wanted to illustrate how we can use the 8 ICF International Coaching Federation's core competences, thanks to very concrete examples. I wanted to explore and exploit my 20 years of coaching CEOs around the world and come up with real leadership landmarks and not a leadership model from what I have heard and what they have shared with me.
Absolutely. And that sounds really fantastic. And I can confirm the book is really good in that regard. But in it, you say that we need a new kind of leadership that's more relevant to today's environment. So, Mark, what's that type of leadership that we need?
Well, a type of leadership that is kinder, more respectful, that cares about resources of all kinds, natural and human ones, and that promotes humanness, consciousness, awareness, gracefulness, and global harmony. People need to be awake to face the new challenges of today and of tomorrow. Leaders and coaches can play a major role in this, adopting a serving attitude that can speak to the intelligence and the souls of people. That type of leadership should also include some sense of humor whenever it's appropriate. That's not always the case, I know. Humor can bring lightness and help us step back. Believe it or not, it's good for your health, Teja.
I'm sure it is, and I'm really looking forward to the times when we see that kind of leadership. And I think we all hope it's sooner than later. But as the title of the book suggests, there are leadership landmarks that you discuss in there. So there are a total of 6 of them. And now I would like to discuss all of them briefly with you, starting with the first one, which is being aware. So, Mark, why is that important?
Well, being aware is to be able to view a situation as a whole, including new perspectives. Be aware, you should be mindful, that is to say, fully present, moment to moment, connected to what happens inside your body, your emotions, your mood, but also outside. That means listening to the words and sounds, observing faces. As we interact with one another, we have an impact on others' lives. Being aware You can assess the quality of these impacts. That's why being aware is that important.
Absolutely. And next up, you talk about the importance of being agile. So could you tell us more about that as well?
Well, other words, changes so fast. If you're not agile or resilient, you are dead. Even your sense of humor can easily be updated. A CEO I coached told me recently, I realized that I was 5 years late in my jokes. I had to update them. He was right. What made us laugh 5 years ago doesn't anymore. Most of the coaching sessions I had were around the following questions: how to deal with complexity? Agility helps you survive, keeping your nostrils out of the water. And resilience helps you be a never-ending learner, grasping inspiration from experience. Splitting a big problem into smaller pieces, some you can't do anything about, and some you can do something about. You should focus your energy on these, is already a release. And if you can see the difference between rational aspects, what can I do, that require rational responses, a to-do list or an action plan? And emotional parts, how do I feel, that requires emotional responses, regulating emotions or feeling some self-compassions, as if you were your best friend, helps a lot.
Absolutely. I really like those tips and the story about the jokes that were 5 years old, which I think is a great example of why we need to be
Yes.
agile. In Denmark, the third landmark is quite surprising for me to see in the book, and that's being eco-friendly. So that's not something we usually hear leaders talking about as an important trait for leaders, but why do you think it is?
Being environmentally friendly is vital to acknowledge and use resources without overexploiting them. That's why I believe it is an important trait. You know, Teja, for the first time in human history, we are realizing that resources may be limited and that overexploiting them may lead to disaster. By resources, I mean both human and natural resources. Let's dive into human ones before considering natural ones. First, dealing with our own resources. One of the most frequently asked questions I had during my coaching sessions was the following: how to deal with my energy and recover from exhaustions? Being a leader is draining. Burnout is never far. If you are overcome with a desire for perfection, if you are unable to prioritize tasks, if you are overinvested in work, if you want to do everything alone, if you are not aware that something is not right, be careful, my friend. Burnout is not far. So, what to do? Don't isolate yourself. Be open enough to consider what people say about your health. Take care of yourself and of your loved ones, of course. Have a pet or have a passion besides your job, and meet people went through a burnout. They will do everything they can to prevent it happening to you, to your team, to your company. Second, dealing with the planet's resources. The United Nations has called for sustainable growth and better management of resources, warning that, let me quote, if the world population reaches 9.6 billion by 2050, we will need three planets worth of resources to keep the same lifestyle we have today. You know, Teja, the generations before ours went too far. Let's not make the same mistakes. Develop a global strategy for your use of natural resources. Make people aware of it, and use your leadership skills to influence people around you. be aware of the impact of what you do and encourage others to be aware too. Consider the long-term consequences of everybody's action at home and in the office. Make them feel accountable. Promote common sense. Healing is good, but it's better to avoid harm in the first place. Avoid overbuying, overexploiting, overtraveling, overworking, and overconsuming. All these overs are destroying our planet. So conserve energy at home and in the office by turning off lights and electronics device when they are not in use. Combat air pollution by encouraging the use of sustainable transportation options. Encourage people to reduce their meat and dairy consumption to help cut methane emissions. Provide recycling facilities, reduce food waste, encourage reuse of items where appropriate. Encourage appreciation of nature. Show people how they can respect it, protect it, be curious about it, learn from it, and be grateful for what they have around them. Support real green industries. Opt to do business with green-friendly brands and companies and avoid green washing partners.
Absolutely. And I really like those tips that you're sharing in the book, because taking care of our natural resources is a theme that's very close to my heart. But also in that part of the book, I really like that you also discuss our human resources, because I think for many leaders, they don't really think
Absolutely.
about that until it's too late. Really,
Absolutely.
it's a great chapter, really. And then Mark, the next landmark is about being demanding. So what do you mean by that?
Well, being demanding means needing a lot of time, attention, or energy. Being demanding is never a problem. But what can become an issue is how you express your requirements and what your underlying intention is. You know, the concern I've most frequently heard about demanding is the following: how can we be a more efficient team? Let me give you a concrete example. Doreen wanted to improve her team's performance. She told me there should be improvements in how the team feels about their performance, then 3.3 out of 5, and then team spirit as well, then 2.5 out of 5. I use the ICF competence number 5, which is maintains presence, that contributes to demandingness. You, as a leader, need to remain focused, observant, empathetic, and responsive to demonstrate curiosity, to manage your emotions, to stay present with your business partners, and to be comfortable working in a space of not knowing. So being present with yourself and mirroring others' attitudes contributes to effectiveness. This is what I did with Doreen, allowing her also to do the same with her team. At the end of the short customized program, the team's satisfaction with their performance rose by 8%, and their satisfaction with their team spirits rose by 27%. Of course, there was still room to improve, but the process created awareness, and they managed to be more demanding both with themselves and with Doreen as well.
Fascinating. Thank you for sharing that story, Mark. And then, quite surprisingly, the fifth landmark is about being kind, which is not something that we usually hear from leaders, to be honest. So
I agree.
why do you think being kind should be an important leadership trait?
Well, you know, Taya, there is this quote widely attributed to Henry James, which says, three things in human life are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. The third is to be kind. In business world, sometimes we forget the importance of the relationship and the power of kindness and love, not a manipulated one, but an authentic one. You have no idea, Taya, how many times I have been asked the following questions: how to develop my human side, how to improve my listening skills, and how to develop my emotional intelligence. People are not used to being listened to. When you deeply listen from the bottom of your heart, doing your best not to be judgmental, acknowledging the situation as it is, with the intention of compassion and being by the side of the person, considering the person's overall context, exploring emotions, being attentive to what is said, but also to what is not said, you make the person respected and considered. Your kindness will be valued. You know, one day, the HR director of a leading global company in the technology industry based in Germany told me, "In our executive committee, we don't know how to listen to each other within our executive committee. When you are speaking to me, I am preparing my response instead of listening to you. I see at least two negative consequences of this. First, as we don't listen to each other, there is a high risk that we don't listen to our customers either. Second, because we don't listen to each other, there is a high risk that our staff will copy us and do the same. So, can you please teach us how to listen to each other?" What a humble attitude, don't you think so? At the end of the program, he said, let me quote, "None of us expected to have such deep and eye-opening conversations during this training, which was focused on strengthening our active listening skills." So at the end of the day, Thea, all that was about kindness.
Amazing. And I think that's you're leaving a really nice message with this part of the book. And finally, Mark, the last landmark is being co-visionary. So tell us more about that.
Well, as you know, Taya, recruiting talents today is not easy. What is even more difficult is to retain talents. So, what may make them leave? One, if you don't lead by example. If you say A and you do B, they won't understand, they won't trust you, they will leave. Two, if they are doing something which is perceived as meaningless, they should feel they contribute to something big, meaningful, beautiful, and heartful. You should embark people around common interests, around a common vision. But to have a vision today, it's really difficult because the world is complex and change comes so fast. That's why I use the expression co-visionary, because we should use collective intelligence and or artificial intelligence to help us foresee what tomorrow may look like. You know, based on my experience, what you can do is the following: go offsite and have a half a day meeting with people, yourself, of course, and AI, and ask questions such as, "How do we see our department in 2 years' time? What can be our top priorities? Who is doing what?" Don't leave the room before you answer all these questions and make sure that there is a follow-up of the session. People will feel listened to and will contribute to the big picture.
Definitely. Okay, Mark, so those were the six landmarks. But something interesting that you also say in the book is that all leaders could benefit from using coaching skills. So you've got a lot of experience as an executive coach. So could you tell us why you think all leaders need at least some coaching skills?
Well, Taya, think of a great leader you know. And what are the skills you admire in this person? I'm sure I can guess you will think of one of the following. Demonstrate ethical practice, or embodies a coaching mindset respecting people, or establishing a clear frame of work with clear objectives, or cultivating trust and safety, or maintaining presence, or listening actively, or maybe creating awareness or facilitating people growth. You know, one of my learnings is that the skills to be a great leader today are very close to the ones of a coach, defined as the eight ICF core coaching competences. So being a leader coach is using the coaching skills consciously to enhance your leadership development.
Absolutely. And okay, so now I have one final question for our very insightful conversation today. And that is, what are your top three tips for the leaders of today? What are the three most important things they should be doing to make sure their re leadership is relevant to the world today?
That's a good one. Let me think. I would say probably number one, I would say presence. Are you fully with us now? Are you not overwhelmed by your emotions? This is what comes first. Probably two would be intention. What do you have in mind and in heart? And probably three, I would say mindset. Does the outside match the inside? Is your behavior aligned with what you do, with what you say, and who you are? But you know, Teja, if you had asked me the most important one, the most important thing, I would say harmony. Humanness in the AI age. Consciousness in the overperformance age, serving the world in a very individualistic age, being in the doing age, taking care of self and taking care of others, outside matching the inside. It sounds like an ambitious plan, but also a very exciting one. So, are you ready to start?
Well, I hope our listeners are. And really great tips, Mark. Thank you very much. And thank you very much
Thank
for
you.
the whole conversation. It was very insightful and interesting. And of course, I would encourage people to grab a copy of the book to read more about your leadership landmarks and all of the other insightful things that you mentioned in the book. But thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you keep an eye on our social media at Lit Publishing on LinkedIn, X, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook for more information about new books and podcasts with thought leaders. See you next time on Lit Radio Podcast.